Ray, shut the door. A little bit. Hello, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. It's Jason.
This is the other Lisa.
Hi, other Lisa. I
Hi.
think Chris is on his way. I don't know if he's joined yet.
Hey, Lisa, it's Kelly.
It's who?
It's Kelly.
Oh, hey, Kelly, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited about tonight's call. And we're going to talk about spiritual warfare tonight. And hopefully, it will be a little bit more than what we've heard in the past. So we're looking forward to tonight. It's 6:32. I don't like to start late because you all know what happens. We tend to go over our 60-minute calls. They've been like 90 minutes lately, and I'm trying to rein us in, but they get so good. So in case we have any new people tonight, we want to say welcome.
Hello.
Always like to just give that, how you doing? We like to give a 2-minute overview of what SOS is, standing on scripture, and how we got started. Basically, the Lord placed it upon my heart to reach out to a couple of other people from the Rejoice Marriage Ministries prayer wall. So we are a spin-off of RMM, and we just could, you know, just wanted another forum, another opportunity to actually hear a live voice and, you know, get questions and answers, hear testimonies. So basically, this is an opportunity for us to just come and magnify Christ first and hopefully get some good input from other standers to, you know, support us in our journey. So I reached out to Chris, and I know he's very vocal and active on RMM Prayer Wall, and also another lady, Sophia. Sophia may not be able to join us tonight. But Chris, have you joined us yet?
I am here.
Okay. You are here. Okay, I was thinking, all right, I'm going to go in and do the prayer. So just a couple of quick housekeeping announcements, and then I'm going to give it over to Chris. So we do record the call. Since we record the call, we ask that you, one, put your phone on mute unless you are talking. If you forget and don't put your phone on mute, then Chris will have to do a universal mute, which means that we might forget to take it off of mute so you can come in and, you know, speak up later. So, you know, just try to be courteous. If you know you're in an environment with other people or whatever, just put your phone on mute. If you have to leave the call early, the call is being recorded. And so because it's being recorded, we ask that you only use your first name, that you do not use your spouse's name at all. And so try to be courteous with that. You don't even have to use your name if you don't want to, whether you're asking a question or what have you. We are definitely want to be respectful of each other. So if one person is talking, we try to wait until that person is finished. And if you are the one talking, because it is typically a group of about 30 people, then we do ask that you try to be succinct and not, you know, take up the whole 90-minute call that we're going to have. Chris, what did I leave out? Anything? I don't know if I left anything
out. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think you covered everything. No. Good.
Okay. So we will have an opening prayer. I'm going to give it over to Chris. Once again, tonight we are going to talk about spiritual warfare, hopefully give some practical examples. So Chris is going to do the first half of the call. I'm going to do the second half. I've invited someone who is a very anointed woman of God, and if she can make the call, then hopefully she'll be able to offer a prayer at the end of the call to basically seal everything that God is doing for us in our marriages. She's been working with me for the last year. She has spoken life into me, into my marriage. And so hopefully she'll be able to do that. If not, then I know that we all are quite capable of going forth in prayer before and after the call. So, Chris, I'm going to give it over to you, let you go ahead and do the opening prayer as well as go into your session.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Welcome, everybody, and I hope everyone had a great 4th of July. I know we didn't do a conference call last week because well, I was out of town with my kids, and everyone, I think, schedules just didn't allow it. So for those of you who are here every week and missed it last week, we regretted that. It was unavoidable. And hopefully we pointed you to resources on the RMM website that you found encouraging. And by the way, let me just say this as a footnote before I go into the prayer, Lisa. RMM's website is chock full of great stuff. They've got podcasts, I think over 50 podcasts on there. They've got videos of restored marriages. They've got a lot of material that is free. Just browsing their website, that will answer probably 80%, 90% of your questions of, gee, what do I do? How do I stand for my marriage? what about this? What about that? The prayer wall is great, and that's a place for you know, connecting with others. But it's a small, less than 10%. Of the resources, what's available to you, the RMM. When I browse it, I discover more and more great stuff. So I cannot encourage everyone enough. Go take advantage of the free material that they have on there. They have some really, really great books. One of them that I would highly recommend is written by Bob Bob Steinkamp. The Prodigal's Perspective. When I read that, I've read some other books similar to that, but when you read the Prodigal's story and their side of it, their perspective, it amazes me how it unlocks your understanding. And I use that term very carefully. It literally unlocks your understanding of what's going on with the spouse. And that's going to give you a segue here to our talk, our discussion tonight, is that when you go, if you haven't read Bob's book, go get it, go buy it. If you can't afford it, your budget won't allow you to do it. Seriously, email me and then I will buy it for you. Done it before, not a big deal. It's only a few bucks. But you've got to read it because it's going to change your perspective, and then you will then start to understand the spiritual warfare that we're fighting in our marriages and standing for our marriages and our families. So having said that, let me go into prayer here so we can actually get going, because I think that some of you are, I think it's going to be a really, really exciting night, because you're going to walk away from this tonight with a lot of really good information. I would also recommend go back and listen to the recording again when we post it, probably over the weekend. And by the way, those of you who were on the conference call 2 weeks ago, my apologies. Schedule got away from me and I didn't post the conference call we had 2 weeks ago. But I will. I will. Do we have any men on the conference call tonight right now who would like to open with prayer besides me? Any takes? No? Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. I want to thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity for all of us to come together and to gather together in Jesus' name and at your feet, Father, and ask you to come join us in this conference call to bless our unity, bless our stand, bless our bless us, Father, with your words of wisdom and your discernment through the Holy Spirit, and whatever our hearts need to hear, whatever questions we have, whatever issues, concerns we might have, whatever is really troubling anything, any one of our hearts, Father, you through the Holy Spirit know exactly what we need to hear. So, Father, I pray that through the Holy Spirit you would anoint both me and Lisa tonight in speaking to your sons and daughters, including us, that we might receive your word, your truth, your wisdom, your discernment, so we could stand and stand strong in our battle for our marriages, our spouses, our families, the good gifts that you've given us, and stand firmly on the promises you've given us. So, Father, I pray that you join us in our conference call. You said your word says that where two or more are gathered, you'll be there with us. And if we ask anything in Jesus' name, that you would give it to us. So, Father, we're asking, come join us, and we're asking in Jesus' name, give us your anointing of your wisdom and discernment. So, Father, we ask, lead us and guide us in all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Lisa, I don't know if you mentioned, Sophia was going to be, she's the third part of our little SOS team here. And it's just the three of us, just like you, standing for our marriages, just like you, we have regular jobs. We do this because, I think as Lisa said, it's, you know, just another point of contact. So you know that, you know, crazy Chris, who does a lot of posting on the prayer wall, I'm a real person who is, you know, I mean what I say, and the things that I post on the prayer wall, I live by that. I live by that. So it's not like just, you know, throwing stuff out there. I, like you, I'm in the trenches. I have to wake up in the morning, put on my spiritual armor, and fight just like you do. You know, we each have different battles, and it looks different for each one of us, but we all have to get up each and every morning and put on spiritual armor and go fight, because we can't sit around doing nothing, because then nothing happens. So Sophia was not able to make it tonight. We had tonight kind of structured into three parts. One Sophia was going to do, which was the model for prayer, and then I was going to speak on the spiritual armor, and then Lisa was going to speak on, unless that has changed, Lisa, you're going to speak on faith. So I'm going to cover real quick what Sophia would have covered, but probably not as good as Sophia because she was preparing for it. But I'm sorry, Sophia, are you here? You're not here, are you? No, she's not. Okay. I thought I heard somebody in the background. The model for prayer, everyone, if you're not familiar with it, which I'm sure you all are, is that, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus, you know, starts with, you know, and he goes into the full model prayer, which everyone, you know, some of you memorized. But really, it's a model. It's not for us to just repeat. It's a model. And it's really, there's an outline of six really bullet points is approach God in the name of Jesus Christ, acknowledge who God is, his omnipotence, his greatness, how awesome he is. You could use, you know, whatever superlative you want, but just acknowledging who God is to you. And however you do it, it doesn't matter. And then confessing your sins, number three, then forgiving others, especially your spouse. But if there's any unforgiveness in your heart, you want to make sure that you you ask God to help you to forgive, and you repeat it out loud and say it, I forgive my wife, or I forgive my husband, or whoever else you may have, or you think you may have. You may have some unforgiveness in your heart for anyone. Acknowledge that. Ask the Lord's help for that. And then just say, I forgive that person. And you keep, you know, forgiving that person every single day, until it sinks down into your heart, because unforgiveness is one thing that could hinder your prayers. Not confessing our sins is another thing that can hinder our prayers, because we're, you know, sin separates us from God. Not that it takes away our salvation, different thing. It just, it seemed, it, God would distance himself, and it seems like God never leaves us or forsakes us, but it seems like he's not hearing our prayers, and that's what we don't want. We don't want to, you know, so confessing sins, forgiving others, especially our spouses, and then we make the request known to God. Then we give him all the requests, petitions, all the things we want and need, and even though he knows all of them before we do, because he says he knows our needs before we do, the whole point is he wants to hear it from us. Not only that, but we're it's part of our relationship with him, and he wants to hear that. And the last thing is when we're done asking God for whatever our petitions are, especially the marriage, healing, and restoration, then we have to praise Him and thank Him for hearing our prayers, and then moving on with our day or whatever else our schedule is, with thankfulness, thanksgiving in our hearts. And we have to do that. And what I like to do sometimes is, if I'm not feeling it, or even if I am, I'll put on some praise and worship music, because that will then, the Lord delights Himself in us when we're praising and worshiping Him, especially in music. And that, you know, will lift your spirits as well. So even if you don't feel it, you know, fake it until you feel it, because the feelings and emotions will follow. So just do it. Just do it, and you'll find within 5-10 minutes, you know, your spirit's lifted, and you're going to find yourself praising the Lord. And the Holy Spirit loves that as well. We start feeling the Holy Spirit sometimes even more when we're praising and worshiping with music the Lord. So that's the six-part outline or bullet points of the model for prayer. I know if Sophia were here, she would have done a much better job, but so I'm kind of covering for her. All right, so now I'm going to get into my section. My section, which is the spiritual warfare. All right, this is going to be my favorite topic, because I love this, and I warn you, if you don't know who I am, I sometimes can get really passionate about this, so I'm going to try to throttle it back a little bit. But we all know, and if you don't think this is true, read the Bible. Read Ephesians 6, the entire chapter. But Satan and his demons are real. The battle is real. And it's real. We know it's real because we've seen it. Each one of us have witnessed it with our very eyes, and we've heard it with our very ears. Because your spouse is not who he or she, they're not who they used to be. The man or the woman you married does not appear to be the same person today. And that's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is that you will, what they are doing and the things that they're saying, they're all similar to what we've all seen and heard. Things like, I don't love you anymore. I've never been in love with you. I've never been in love with you. I'm never coming back. You should go and find someone else and move on with your life, because I have. Lisa, Sophia, and myself did another session like this, Satan's Lies. I think 3-4 weeks ago, if you go onto the praisereports.org website, go and look up that conference call that we did. I think it's called Satan's Lies. Go and listen to that over the next few days, whenever you can, and we go into more detail on that. But a lot of things that we hear, the standing husband and wife hear, are the same things, because Satan has one playbook and he follows it, because it works. It works. So, Satan and his demons are real. The battle is real. It's real because your spouse is probably not home right now. They probably moved out. They probably filed for divorce. They probably have their divorce. They're probably involved with somebody else. And in some cases, they already married someone else. And any one of those issues, any one of those that I just mentioned, if that has happened to you, that's the result of spiritual warfare. Because marriage is a good thing. And it's a gift from God. And nobody runs away from gifts from God. Let me ask you this question. When Jesus was on earth and he walked around healing people and feeding people, do you think any of them ran away from the healings? Do you think any of them ran away from the feedings? When he broke bread and he fed with bread and fish, do you think people ran away from that? No, they all ran towards him. Are there any gifts from God that are not good that anyone would run away from. No. And when people really understand the gift of salvation, they run toward it. So let me ask you this. In our marriages, so here, some of you right now are being attacked spiritually. Right now as we're speaking, some of you are having Satan whisper in your ear saying, yeah, but I screwed up. I did this or I did that. And yeah, okay, but you know what? We all have. Your spouse is, you and your spouse, me and my wife, we're co-contributors to our marriage situation right now. I know I have my faults in my marriage, and I could have been a better husband and a better father, and I know my wife could have. And in your marriage, yes, you probably made mistakes, and so did your spouse. So how many of us have not sinned and have not fallen short of the glory of God? See, we all have. So in every single marriage, even those that are intact, there are still husbands and wives who are making mistakes and making mistakes and messing up. So the fact that your spouse is gone speaks that your spouse is running away from a good thing. Now, we're not talking about the extremes, like, you know, someone's, you know, physically, you know, abusing their spouse. We're not talking about that extreme. We're talking about the normal, you know, we've drifted apart, we've fallen apart, we feel like we've become roommates, those kind of things. Or even if you're guilty of committing, of really breaking your marriage where you had committed adultery, even that, God could fix and recover. Because I'm sure we have some people on the phone on this conference call where you may have done that. And now, you know, you were the prodigal, you violated your marriage vows, and then God grabbed a hold of your heart, turned you around, and you're back. I know we have some of those on this call tonight. So I'm speaking to you on that. So all of us, sorry, I received a text from one of my kids and it distracted me. I apologize. Everybody on this phone call tonight, yes, we all have made mistakes in our marriages. And so have our spouses. But we're not going to focus on our spouses. But my point is, though, that our spouses have left because their minds have been, they've given room to lies and deceptions of the enemy, and the enemy has led them astray and has led them down this path, the reason why we call them the prodigals is because they're taking the same path and the same course as the prodigal son. A lot of them, if they haven't already, they will soon find themselves in the pig pen. And that's a good thing. Things will get worse before they actually turn around and get better. Because when they find themselves in the pig pen, that's when God gets their attention. But sometimes it's necessary for God to let them go the full distance, find themselves in that place, and then they will look up and they will say, I was better off at home. I have two friends personally whose wives did that. They came back. We've read hundreds of testimonials where prodigals have come back and they all share the same story. It's a horrible place to be, and they never want to go back there again. Bob Steinkamp, in his books, he mentions that again. I think he mentioned that very specifically in The Prodigal's Perspective, his book. But let me go back to the spiritual armor. So I want to spend just a few minutes on the battle is real. And we've all witnessed the battle because your spouse is gone. And no spouse in their right minds will leave a good thing unless they've been deceived into believing that the grass is greener on the other side. whatever it is, whether it's being single or having an affair or trying to get into a new marriage, whatever it is, whatever the other side is for them, that's what they have been led to believe. And it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a lie. It's all a deception by the enemy. So you have witnessed it, and having witnessed it, you know it's real. Now, Ephesians 6 talks about, I'm going to read this real quick to you, Ephesians 6, 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, against the schemes and the strategies of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of in the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all that, stand. I think one thing that we read about and hear about constantly through RMM is we're standing for our marriages. We're standing for our marriages. I'm going to take a side note here because I feel like the Holy Spirit's leading me on this. Okay, so just today I came across this, and I can't remember how I was led to this, but Ezekiel 22, verse 30 through 31. And this is so critical. I have to point this out. Okay, for any of you who are drifting off and not paying attention, let me have your attention for just 1 second, your full attention. Here's what it says, Ezekiel 22. This is what God is looking for. God says, I looked for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. And here's the sad part. But I found no one. Charlene from RMM and Bob, they talk about standing in the gap all the time. And you'll hear this from other marriage restoration ministries as well. Standing in the gap. This is where it comes from. If you didn't know, here it is, Ezekiel 22, 30 and 31. I could easily read this way. God says he's looking for a man or a woman, a husband or a wife, who could stand in the gap between me, God, and the prodigal spouse who's left their marriage, because I'm going to pursue that person because I hate sin and I hate divorce. And if they're divorcing, they're doing what I hate. And if they're in an affair or an adultery, it's another thing that I hate. So I'm going to pursue them first with correction and chastisement, and then I will bring them back. And if you don't think that that's true, go read the book of Hosea, the first three chapters, of how God talks about Hosea's wife leaving and doing exactly that. She leaves to pursue other men and adulterous relationships. And she pursued her. And God brings her into the wilderness, the pig pen, and then he brings her back to himself. He woos her. He romances her. He entices her with his unconditional love, his grace and his mercy. And that's what God is doing. God's going to pursue your spouse. By the way, he'll do it with or without you. Let me say that again. God is going to pursue your spouse with or without you. If he does it without you, and he'll do it with somebody else or use somebody else to pray for that person, see, because you cannot thwart God's plan and purpose. If God has his finger on your spouse, he's going to pursue that spouse, your spouse, with or without you. We read that also in Esther, the book of Esther. If you're not familiar with the story, Esther was appointed for a time and a place in a specific situation where she could stand in the gap for the Israelites, and she did. I think it was her uncle. She didn't want to do it. She was supposed to go before her husband, the king, to Stanford Israelites and expose, I can't remember his name, to expose the guy who was going to destroy the Israelites the next day. And she stands before, and she was afraid of going before the king, her husband, because if she goes without an invitation, she could be killed instantly on the spot. Her uncle said, if you don't do this, then God will find someone else to do it, because God's plan cannot be, no one can stand against God's plan and God's will. So if God has his finger on your spouse, he's going to accomplish it. He's going to bring your spouse back to himself one way or another, with or without you. If it's without you and he brings your spouse back, you may be like many other people, end up with a defeated Christian walk, Christian life, and a defeated marriage restoration, because you're not there when God brings the spouse back home. I've seen that happen too. We stand in the gap because God wants to work in us and through us, and then to restore our marriage better than what it ever had been before. And I've seen that happen many times too. So really, God gives you a choice. Okay, but here's the other part. Ezekiel 22, verse 31. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. So if we really love our spouses, we need to stand in the gap for them. Because when we stand in the gap for them, according to Ezekiel 22:30, then God will work in us and through us. And by the way, when we stand in the gap, we're praying for forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive my wife, for she doesn't know what she's doing. Forgive your husband, for he doesn't know what he's doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Because Jesus, when he was on the cross, and he was right before he died, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He didn't sit there and itemize it. He didn't sit there and qualify it. Well, Father, forgive them for what they're doing, except for Susie over here who, well, she's been caught in adultery for the 10th time. Or, forgive everyone, except for John over here, because, well, John not only denied me 10 times, but then he spat in my face. Jesus didn't qualify any of that. Jesus said, Father, forgive all of them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I point that out because it doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter if they're, spending money that they shouldn't be spending or don't have on the other person. It doesn't matter if they're caught up in drugs, alcohol, adultery, whatever it is that they're doing. And it doesn't matter how many times. God, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? 77 times 7. I know some of the stuff is really, really hard to hear, you guys, because it's when you're in a pain, in your place of pain, and you're hurting, the last thing you want is someone telling you, forgive the spouse who's doing this to you. And I know it's hard, but if you pray, the Holy Spirit will change your heart to love your spouse unconditionally, and then you'll be able to pray for them, for their soul, their salvation, and their forgiveness. But Ezekiel, I'm going to back away from this because it's pretty hard. Ezekiel 22, 30, and 31, standing in the gap. Okay, so let me come back. So I'm sorry. I just had to put that out there because the Holy Spirit gave it to me and I felt like it had to be said. God is calling us to stand in the gap. And God takes no pleasure. There's a scripture I can't think of right now. There's a scripture. God takes no pleasure in our disobedience. And God says, I prefer obedience instead of sacrifice. I've heard some people say, well, I'm going to go and do this or do that, do whatever I want, and then I'll come back later and ask God for his grace and mercy and forgiveness. That's not why God has given us grace. That's not the purpose of grace. God prefers obedience over sacrifice, over begging and pleading for more grace. Shall we sin that more grace abounds? I think it was Paul who said that. Shall we sin willingly with intent? Should we intentionally sin that more grace would abound? No. So let me come back over here because I could get really lost. It's already 10 o'clock, top of the hour. And I'm taking Lisa's time. All right, spiritual armor. We face three enemies. And by the way, Satan is not our primary enemy. Satan isn't. I'm going to tell you who is. Lisa, you're going to love this. We are our number one enemy. And all Satan does is he tries to, just like with our spouses, he tries to hijack our feelings, our emotions, and twist them in a way against our spouses. And here's some of the ways that he will do that. Okay, but here's the three enemies that we face. We face the world. The world is one of our enemies who the world says divorce is okay, adultery is fine. I mean, look, in today's day and age, you know, having sex, you know, with the same gender is okay. Well, God speaks about that very clearly. You know, same-sex affairs, same-sex marriages. Sorry, I'm not going to, you know what, I'm not going to mince words here. Marriage is between a man and a woman. God says it very clearly. Anything outside of that is a sin to God. Adultery is a sin to God. That's what we have to, that's why I pointed out, we have to stand in the gap and pray for our spouses. We have to. We have to cover them in prayer. We have to cover them with forgiveness, with unconditional love, and we have to ask mercy, grace and mercy upon them. Because God does not take sin lightly. He takes it very seriously. And disobedience, again, same thing. So the world is going to tell us it's okay to divorce. It's okay to walk away from your spouse. You're going to have people, you're going to have friends who mean well, but they're going to misguide you. They're going to say, you know what? Look, she did this and they, or he did that. And, you know, or, you know, they've already divorced you. It's been, you know, it's been 2 years. It's been 5 years since the divorce went through. You know, why are you such a fool still waiting for the woman, for that wife, for that husband who's, you know, gone off into a, you know, has multiple affairs or has already divorced you, is long gone, is two states away, maybe in a different country. It doesn't matter. You're going to have people, and they do that because they care about you, and they don't want to see you suffering. So they're going to say those things because they care, they love you. That's the world, and that's their flesh. But our flesh is going to get in the way too. Our flesh is going to say to us, man, how much longer can I deal with this? I'm tired of dealing with this. I've grown weary. I think this week, Charlene maybe, I think, did a devotional this week about not growing weary. Go back and read the devotional from this week by Charlene. Somebody did a devotional this week about not growing weary. Satan's going to try to manipulate our thoughts, our beliefs, manipulate God's word into something different. And he will hijack or try to hijack our feelings and emotions. And our feelings and emotions are going to be our biggest enemy. Because we miss our husbands and wives. We want them back. We feel the emptiness, the loneliness. We want everything back the way it used to be. Well, if you haven't heard it before, God's doing a new thing in your marriage. And he's working right now in recreating your marriage into something brand new and something better than what it has been. So quit being like Lot's wife and looking back at what was. And look forward at what God said he's working on and he's going to give you. And he's got good plans for you. So the world is our enemy. Our own flesh is our enemy and probably our biggest enemy. And then the devil is also our enemy, but he's only one third of that. And what he does is he hijacks the first and second. He uses the world to come against us, and he uses our flesh, feelings and emotions, to come against us as well. He's going to use finances. He's going to use health. He's going to use friends. He's going to use even some people in the church. We're going to say, well, you know, if they've divorced you and the divorce is final, that's biblical grounds to move on. Or if they've had an affair, that's biblical grounds to move on. And I'm challenging you, no. Because if you were to go and look and see what God says, that says, no, it's not what I want. You could have second best, or you could have my best. Second best is nowhere near God's best. Nowhere near. And I guarantee you, the second best is not going to even be close to what you thought your best was in your marriage up to this point. Look back at your marriage and all the great things that you've had in your marriage up until this point. If you run off and try to get remarried to somebody else, it will not even come close to the best of what you had in this current marriage. But God said what you had in your marriage, what was good, he's going to give you something even better than that with the same husband, same spouse. So the world, the flesh, and the enemy. Some cases, they're so closely interwoven that you can't tell them apart. They're seamless, and you can't tell which is Satan, which is my flesh, which is the world. Just keep in mind, those are all three. Now, here's one fact that we know of. Here's another fact. In fact, we're in a battle, second fact. Satan is already defeated. Let me say this again. Satan is already defeated. I think I posted something about this week, last week. Satan is already defeated. He was defeated at the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ covers it all. Jesus' death on the cross covers it all. He is defeated. Satan is defeated. All of his demons and all of his minions, all defeated. Satan is bound through God's judgment and through the cross and is being bound through the preaching of the gospel. When we stand for our marriages, all we're saying is, Satan, I don't believe you. You're a liar. You're a murderer. You're a thief. You're not going to steal my marriage. You're not going to dissuade me from standing for my marriage and for the restoration of my marriage. And God says, if we resist the devil, he will run away. That's all we need to do, guys. That's our part. The battle's already won. The victory is already decided. We have the victory in God and Jesus Christ. All we're called to do is stand. Stand in faith and believing what God said is true and taking God at his word. And we need the spiritual armor to do that because the enemy is going to come and attack us in many different ways. In many different ways, and we talked about that. Go back and listen to the recording from a few weeks ago. We talk about the different ways that he attacks us. And Satan and his forces have never been outside of God's control. Never, not one time, and not now. No matter what you see going on in your marriage, no matter what you see going on right now in your battle for your marriage, it's all lies and deceptions. It's all weapons formed against us. But none of them shall prosper. I'm trying to think of where that is in the Bible, but it's, I think maybe, what is it, Psalm 51? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed, and I shall condemn, we shall condemn every tongue and every voice that raises against us in our marriages, in our stand for our marriage, for our husband, our wives, for our children, for our family. We condemn every tongue and every voice that's raised against us because Jesus Christ's righteousness is our heritage, and no one can take that away from us. So if we're made righteous in and through Jesus Christ, we stand before God in righteousness. That's how God sees us. And because we're made righteous, that's why no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Weapons will be formed against you, and they will come at you. Just like the waves, when Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the waves were attacking the boat, were hitting the boat. The wind, the rain, the waves, they were in a storm. We're in a storm too, and we're getting hit with the waves. We're getting hit with the rain. We're getting hit with the wind. We're getting hit. We will see the arrows, the fiery darts being shot at us, but they will not prosper. I've seen it in my own stand. Time and time again, you know, I there were situations that I didn't know what the answer was. All I could say is, Lord, I don't know. I don't see a way out. All I know is that you said this and you said this. And I just, in the privacy of my heart, in prayer, I prayed out to the Lord. And I said, and I repeated scripture back to him, Lord, all I know is you said this and you said this. And these are your promises. And you also said you're not a man that you could lie. And you're always faithful. So somehow, some way, you've got to fix this or you've got to handle this. And I've seen time and time again in my own situation where out of nowhere, a solution or an answer to my situation I was praying about came out of nowhere. And I'm just beside myself thinking like, oh, my goodness, I never saw that coming. Lord, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. And I know some of you have seen that as well. If you think back, I don't know how far in your journey you have come, but if you think back, you will see where God has given you answers and solutions to things that you had no way out. There was no way out. You could not see a way out, and God provided a way out of your problem, your dilemma, whatever it might have been. And all you can think is raise your arms up to the skies and say, Lord, it was all you, because there's no way out of this, and you did it. So Satan's defeated. He seeks to devour us. He seeks to devour us so we no longer stand for our marriages. Satan's going to use the world, the flesh, in whatever way possible to devour us and get us to stop standing for our marriages, to quit and walk away. And I'll admit it. It is easier. It's easy right now. The easier thing for all of us to do right now is to say, I'm not standing anymore. I'm quitting this. My wife, my husband, I'm going to let them go. They can go do whatever they want. I'm going to run off and find someone else. I'm done. And that is, honestly, it is the easiest thing to do. But it's not what God wants us to do. It's not what God, because God is going to give us something better. He knows the plans for us, and they're good plans to prosper us. And yes, prospering us means that restoring our marriage, because God loves marriage, He created it, and He wants our marriages restored more than we do, more, 1,000 times more than what we do. And that's why He's given us this spiritual armor, so we could stand and walk in faith. We stand on his word, his truth, and we walk in faith. Those two go hand in hand. We have to walk in faith. When God calls us to do this or to do that, we need to obey and do this and do that. And there are times when God's going to say, okay, be still and do nothing. And then we're still, we do nothing. Okay, so the devil's going to try to get us to mess up, to fall into sin, to give up our stand, through discouragement or other methods, lies and deceptions, to stop praying, to get tired, to get weary, to stop being obedient to God, and to stop praying. To stop praying for our spouses, to stop praying for our marriage being restored, and to divide us. To divide us by saying, look, just move on. Everyone else is doing it. Why are you still standing? It's easier. Stop doing this. There's no point. It's pointless. It's hopeless. There's no way they're going to come back. There's no way they're going to come back. And look at all the things that they said. Why don't you just quit and move on? It's easier just to find someone else and move on. It's easier, but it's not the best thing. Because I guarantee you, you will have many regrets. It is not easier. Because any time we listen to Satan, there's a price to pay. It's like with drugs. That first one is free, and then you're hooked. And then after that, now you're hooked and you want to go back for more. But there are consequences. That road leads to death and destruction. and it always will. So that's what Satan wants to do, is to quit our stand, walk away, dividing us, to shut us up, and to stop praying. And, okay, so I'm going to go through real quick the spiritual armor here. Ephesians 6, and you can read this if you haven't already, Ephesians 6. We have got to go through
Chris,
the...
Chris, I was going to cover some of that when I do the thing. So I don't know. Do you have much more? Because we're getting into the 50-minute mark here.
Yes. No. I'm just going to go through the spiritual armor real quick, what it is. It's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We're already righteous, you guys. I don't know the word of verses in the New Testament we're told. We are already. If you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ, you've accepted him, we are already righteous, holy, and above reproach. God cannot see us in any way other than already being cleansed and washed and sin-free, because that's what Jesus Christ did at the cross. It's already finished. It's already done. That's how God and Jesus Christ see us. That's how God sees us through Jesus Christ. So when we put on our breastplate of righteousness, we're already made holy, righteous, and above reproach. That's what gives us the confidence and to come boldly before the throne of God in prayer. Then the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation, I like to pray the spiritual armor on myself, my wife, and my children every single day. And when it comes to the helmet of salvation, I also ask for God to give us wisdom, discernment, and the will and desire to use it. The will and desire to use it, and the wisdom and discernment to use it the right way, so we can take captive every thought and every idea that comes into our minds, and those that are not according to God's will and word, to dismiss it and not pay any attention to it, not dwell on it, not think about it, not give it any weight whatsoever. And then the other three are going to be the shield of faith, which Lisa's going to talk about, the shield of faith, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is mightier and stronger than a double-edged sword that cuts both ways, divides soul and spirit, and cuts to the bone and marrow. Now, that's a lot of heavy stuff. It took me a while to actually fully understand just that part of it. Just that part of it, just the sword of spirit. But sword of spirit is the word of God. Do you remember the three temptations that Jesus Christ had in the after he did his 40 days of fasting? The three temptations by Satan himself, Jesus responded each time with the word of God. And after the third attempt, Satan left him. If you resist, he will leave. If you resist him and use the word of God, he will leave. Okay, and the last one is the gospel of peace, that we wrap our feet with the gospel of peace. And I like to pray that with God gives me, my wife, my children, the gospel of peace. And so we approach him in peace, approach each other in peace, and my wife approaches me in peace as well. So those are the six elements of the spiritual armor. And I have four bullet points here real quick. I'm going to go through real quick. David went into battle against Goliath, spiritual armor. The spiritual armor is meant for us to go into battle. Every single one of us, whether we like it or not, are engaged in spiritual battle 24/7, yes, even in our sleep. That's why before we go to sleep, we have to pray. So our dreams and sleep, we're protecting our dreams and our sleep. David went into battle against Goliath. He won. Gideon went into the battle with only 300 men. He won. Today's devotional, I think, was about Gideon and the 300 men who went into battle. And I think Lisa... Charlene's daughter, Lisa, wrote that one for today, I think. And then Moses. Moses went into Egypt, on his ground, his territory, into his kingdom, and went to tell Pharaoh, hey, free the Israelites. He did that, I think, seven times, went back and forth, you know, free them, free them, free them. David, when he was king in 1 Samuel 30, he went into war against the Amalekites, who had kidnapped David's wives and children, all the children, because when David and the army were gone, battling somewhere else, the Amalekites went into his camp and kidnapped all the women and children and took all the spoils. Well, David pursued them, David as king, pursued them, well, just before he was anointed king. He pursued the Amalekites, and he overtook them and recovered, fully recovered his wives, all the wives, all the children, and many, many times the amount of spoils that were originally taken from him, proving and showing that God always restores, makes the enemy restore to us double of what they have stolen from us. That's another biblical principle as well, is that we want, you know, that's what we want Satan to pay back to us, is double what he has stolen from us. So the spiritual armor is necessary. We're in the battle. Fact. There's a spiritual warfare. Fact. We're in the battle every single day. Fact. God has given us spiritual weapons to fight this battle. And the other fact is that we are engaged in the battle whether we like it or not, and the spiritual armor that he's given us in Ephesians 6 is meant for us to be actively involved in the battle. In the battle. And we can talk more about this, but I think I'm going to let it go to Lisa. I know I've taken up a lot of time. I sometimes do that. I'm sorry, Lisa. Forgive me. Okay, I'm going to give it over to Lisa, and then we'll open for a Q&A after that. Lisa, are you there?
I'm going to go through several scriptures so that if you want to follow along, if you don't already have the YouVersion app, I encourage you to download it or any type of Bible app that you're using. I'm going to start with John, the fourth chapter, verses 46 through 50. And let me read this. I'm actually going to cover two of the items, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So it says, so Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. What I wanted to point out here, I start with this, even though the word faith is not used in this writing, you hear that Jesus spoke to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. He spoke life to the nobleman. And the nobleman, it says very clearly, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. In order to have faith for this particular journey, we have to have a word from God, whether that word comes directly from the Bible, which to me is the best source, or even if you get a rhema word from God, even if God gives you a rhema word, it's going to line up with Scripture. When you have that rhema word, that word is that substance from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word is that substance that we need to go through this journey. If we are hoping for the restoration of our marriage, faith is believing in God's word that your spouse will return. Ephesians, and Chris talked a little bit about this. He touched on it, and I want to go over to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And give me a minute because I'm using my Bible app here, and it's so easy. So Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Scrolling down to... because he already talked on some of these items here. But scrolling down where it says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want to do a little exercise with those of you who are still on the call. If you would just trust me for a couple of minutes, this is something that I tried myself this week. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to try to speak quietly. I'm not going to hypnotize you. I don't know how to do that. But I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to envision yourself holding up a shield. And your shield is the shield of faith. I looked at some pictures today, and every picture of a soldier holding the shield, they also had a sword. The shield and the sword, they work together. Faith and the word of God work together. So close your eyes and imagine yourself holding your shield in one hand, and that says faith. That's your rhema word. That's the word of God that you're standing on, that as you're praying and seeking God for the restoration of your marriage. And keep in mind, as we always say, God is working on you. He called you to stand because he wanted to get your attention. You. So you see yourself holding that shield of faith. And in the other hand, I want you to picture yourself holding that sword. Now, faith is that peace that you walk around with on a daily basis. And when you're not in battle, your faith is probably, your shield is just kind of like out in front of you. Faith goes before you. It's that thing that you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about, or you go to bed at night. It's that shield. It's that peace that it's your protector, if you will, so that when you're not engaging the enemy directly, you have your shield. It's still there. It's still in your mind, and you know God gave me that word. The sword, we typically, if you pull out your sword, you're ready to go to battle. Your sword is that word. So I want you to picture your shield being in front of you, okay? And then I want you to picture the enemy coming at you, and he says to you something in the manner of, he doesn't love you, to the husband, to the woman who's standing for her marriage to be restored. But you got your shield up, but then that it gets past you because maybe it was a thought that came to your mind, he doesn't love you, but your shield is up. And you can say, no, I know he loves me. I know my husband loves me. But maybe you get caught off guard. You're having a conversation with a girlfriend, and she slips something in there, and it says, you know, if he loved you, he wouldn't have left you. That's when you need to take, because your shield, you was trying to move your shield up or down or to the left or to the right, but that those words got past your shield and they hit your mind. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says we have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, that's when you need your sword. You need that word. So even though someone spoke, the enemy spoke, or somebody got into you and it got past your shield, he doesn't love you. The word of God in Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife. So you can hold on to that knowing that this is my husband. He may not feel it right now. He may not be showing it right now, but I have Ephesians 5:25 to hold on to because God has commanded, husbands, love your wife. You still got your shield up, and you now you got your sword, and you're moving, and you're engaging. Maybe the enemy says to you, to the man that's out there standing for his wife, she's rebellious, and she won't change. But the word of God in Ephesians 5:22, you got your sword now. Your sword says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. So you can hang your head on the word of God, and you can begin to say, Lord, you said in your words in Ephesians 5:22 that my wife is to submit herself, and I'm calling on you today, Father, that you will stand before me. God, I'm standing in the gap for her, that at some point she will submit herself unto me and unto your word. And then maybe the word, the enemy says unto you, you're divorced and there's no chance of reconciliation, well, then go to 1 Corinthians 7:11 with your sword, and you cut down those words, and the word says that you are to remain unmarried or be reconciled. So you can hold on to it that right now I may be unmarried, but God has promised me that if I continue in this way, I shall be reconciled. So you got to hold on to your faith, and you got to fight with that word of God. Maybe the enemy comes to you and he says, no one cares about me. But you can get the word of God out of 1 Peter 5:7. And it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So you can bring down that thought before it becomes an emotion that causes you to do something contrary to the word of God. As Chris was bringing out earlier, he said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's in Isaiah 54:17. It didn't say that the weapons wouldn't be formed. It just said that they wouldn't prosper. And how are they not going to prosper? They're not going to prosper because you're going to keep your shield of faith up, and you're going to keep that sword in your hand. You're going to know the word of God. Perhaps the enemy comes to you and he slips it in there and he says, he would rather be with the other person. He would rather be with the other woman. But the word of God says in Proverbs 5:4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So you hold on to that word of God. The enemy comes and says, fight back. Defend yourself. But the word of God in Exodus 14:14 says that the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So you got to know that word right there. You got to know that the word is speaking to you. Then maybe the enemy comes and says, your wife has played the harlot, for all of you men that are out there standing. Maybe he says, your wife has played the harlot. Leave her. Be done with her. Say no more. But the word of God in Hosea 3:1 says, go again. Love a woman who is beloved by her husband and yet is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods. So I'm just standing here tonight to encourage you and helping you to apply the shield of faith, helping you to apply the sword of the Spirit. Because, see, these two things work together. If you go out with your faith alone and you don't have your sword, if a fiery dart gets past your shield and hits your mind, it's going to tear you down. And that's when we start seeing posts on the Rejoice Marriage Ministries prayer wall that says, I feel like giving up. I don't know what to do, because you're not carrying your sword. You're not carrying the word of God. Call on somebody. When you get to that point, ask us on the prayer wall, I need a scripture because I just heard this. I need something to help me fight against these fiery darts that are coming my way. Something has gotten past my shield of faith. So I need my fellow standers to help me to fight this thing. And that's what we're there for. We are helpers one of another, because the word says that where two or three are come together in my name, I will be in the midst. That's the purpose of the prayer wall, is so that we all can come together and pray for one another in that area that may be lifted up. And let me tell you, when the enemy comes at you, the best thing you can do at that point in time is to take it to God. He says if you take it to him and you hold your peace, I just read it, he will fight for us. We don't have to fight our own battles. God will fight it for us. Get a song. If you don't know a word, if you're a baby Christian and you haven't really got the word down like that, get a song, because many of our songs, a lot of them, if you get a good one, it's based on the word of God. I've been humming in my spirit for the last 3 days. Jesus, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. And there's a verse in the song, and it says, you are my protector. In your arms, I feel protected. In your arms, I'm never disconnected. And we know that God is our protector. He is our provider. He is all of those things. If you don't have a song, make up your own and hum that song, because when the enemy is coming at you, when you hear your spouse spewing out those nasty, horrible, vile things to you, and you know they're coming from the enemy, and you want to curl up somewhere and die, no, give it to God. And in your mind, begin to sing your song. Hum your song. Hum your song, because these are the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Faith is simply believing the word of God, no matter what. Faith and his word together will keep us in peace. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, that's what the word says, he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind, your thoughts, are stayed on Jesus. That's the best way I can explain to you tonight how the weapons of our warfare, just those two, the shield of faith, hold up your shield, but if something gets past your shield, then you got your sword. Don't go out of the house not dressed fully with your shield and your sword. If you leave something else at home, grab your faith and grab your sword every day because that's what you need to fight the enemy. And that's all I had to say. I probably could say more, but I don't want to wear your patience too much. Before we have, well, we may have some questions right now, so we'll open up the floor if anybody has any questions at this time.
Any questions, anybody? By the way, great, amen, Lisa. That was awesome. I love that. Any questions, guys, girls?
Ladies, I have a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's Jennifer. How are you guys?
Hey, we're
good. Good. I posted on the prayer wall yesterday. I just want to say thank you so much for tonight. I really needed this phone call more than you guys know. Thank you. So my husband unfortunately told me last night he wanted a divorce again for the millionth time, but it was pretty serious. What is a good scripture for when he says that he doesn't want to be with me and he doesn't want to come back and he hasn't in the past year that we've been separated, that he just has no thought of coming home to me? What would be a good scripture to pray over that?
Pray the spiritual armor over him. Pray the blood of Jesus Christ and the spiritual armor as in Ephesians 6 over him. That's very important because, you know, not only do we pray the spiritual armor for us and ourselves in our stand, but it is also imperative for us to pray the spiritual armor on our spouses because they've been led away captive. And, and they need it more than we do because they don't even realize that they have been led away captive by Satan's lies and deception.
Gotcha.
I would also pray, I think it's Malachi 2:16. Please give me a second to double check that. You take God as one thing that I wanted to point out in that scripture that I read first in John, the fourth chapter, it was Jesus' words. So we can pray Jesus' words back to him. Now, I'm going to go to Malachi first, but I think it's also in all the four Gospels. And, Chris, maybe you can look it up while I'm doing this, where Jesus
I'm gonna
talks
give him
about
something.
Hating divorce. But let
I'm
me give Malachi something. 2. Let me give Malachi
Sorry.
2:16.
Okay, I have a different verse to give them.
Okay, I want something out of the New Testament. It says, For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. So in Malachi 2:16, we can remind God that you said that you hate putting away, you hate divorce. And I'm going to also look for some in the New Testament. And Chris, I know you have something that you wanted to mention.
Well, it's slightly not related. 2 Timothy, if you guys are taking notes, you can write this down, 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who is taken captive, who have been taken captive by Satan at his will. So another New Testament verse demonstrating proof of the spiritual warfare. Satan has
another day in paradise.
Our spouses. What's that? Okay, Lisa, are you still there?
Mm-hmm, I'm here. Chris, could you repeat that verse again, 2 Timothy what?
2 Timothy 2:26.
Thank you.
Matthew 5th chapter, verse 32, these are Jesus' words. Was that Jessica, I think you said?
Jennifer, yeah.
Jennifer, I'm sorry. You can take these words back to Jesus. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And you can just go to the Lord and say, God, Jesus, these are your words. I don't want to be put away. You know, I don't want to be in a position of committing adultery. Father, I desire to live according to your word. So you can take these words here, and I believe your word, you know. The man, the nobleman, he believed the word of God. I'm going to keep looking because I think there may be. If anyone else has a scripture on the call, please feel free.
I'm going to give you.
If you have a better one.
I don't know, Lisa, if you mentioned this, Matthew 19:8. Jesus was asked what he thought about marriage and divorce, and Jesus replied, first he replies, well, what did Moses say to you? And then they said, well, Moses permitted divorce, and then Jesus says, Moses permitted divorce because you men hardened your hearts toward them. Mm-hmm. But I say, this is the part that I like, but I say it was not so from the beginning. So Jesus goes all the way back to the beginning, refers to Genesis chapter 2, if I remember Genesis chapter 2. Jesus refers all the way back to that and says, but at the beginning, God created a male and female as husband and wife, and they become one flesh. So Jesus steps over what Moses said and did and reaches back from the original intent and brings it forward into the New Testament and says, and that's the way it still is. That was the original, and that's the way it is today. Let no man and woman divorce. So you can go read it, Matthew 19, I think it's starting at verse 8, and read those verses going forward, and that whole conversation plays out. But Jesus emphasizes again, God does not approve of divorce. God brought man and woman together. He made them husband and wife. He created them as one flesh in a marriage, and let no one, you know, separate or put them under. So you could pray that scripture too. I pray that a lot myself, pretty much daily. I'll pray that over my wife, that, you know, Lord, you've joined us. You're the one who brought us together. You're the one who joined us in marriage. You're the one who's made us husband, wife in one flesh. And look what our enemy's trying to do. So that's you could take that scripture and turn it into a prayer.
That's one other thing I want to – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said thank you.
The only other thing I want to say is that let us not focus on what the spouse is saying, because right now the prodigal, if you think about the prodigal sons, they are deceived, and they're only able, most of the time they're speaking lies. If there is a little bit of truth, that just tries to throw you off the trail of the enemy, but they're speaking lies. So we have to not focus on the words that are coming out of their mouth, but the words that are coming out of Jesus' mouth. We have to focus on the words that are in the Bible. We have to seek God for his will to be done in our life. We have to go after Jesus. The more that spouse is raging up against us, that's when we go after God even the harder. We press into the presence of God. Go into your prayer closet. Turn down your plate. Go before the Lord and ask God to show you, because perhaps there's something more that the Lord is trying to work out of you or into you. When I started my journey was really about Lisa. Lisa was deep in sin, and God needed to restore me. So no matter what came out of his mouth, that was a distraction for me to take my eyes off of God. But what it ended up doing was causing me to place my eyes deeper onto God, and God sent people to help me along the way. So focus, pick your, I hear what they're saying, and that's why we, once again, we got to have up our shield of faith, because that's to block those words from getting into our mind, because when they get into your mind and you dwell on them, it impacts your emotions. Your emotions then begin to become in turmoil, and you find yourself crying somewhere in a closet or turning to some other device. So if you can just think that the words that they are speaking are the words of the enemy, and then say, Satan, I refuse to listen to you. Chris gave that word earlier tonight, resist the devil. Submit ourselves unto God, and he shall flee. But we have to submit unto God. This journey is about us and our relationship with Christ. The more you learn to reach out to God and grab hold of him and his promises and not chase after that man, the more God is going to begin to move and work in our life, and he will fight for us.
Well, let me just throw this out there, too, because I feel like this needs to be said. Two points. I'm going to try to remember my second one. Here are the fiery darts that Satan will use. I'm never coming back. The words that they're using, I'm never coming back. I'm moved on. You know, anything that comes out of their mouth toward you that's negative and is contrary to your marriage and your stand for your marriage and the restoration of your marriage, anything, all the words contrary to that is are the lies from Satan in their hearts and their minds toward you. The other things that Satan is going to use toward you, against you, is going to be sometimes it's going to be flaunting the other person in your face. That's why we're told stay away from social media, don't track them down, don't follow them, don't be involved in or engaged in trying to find out where they are, what they're doing, who they're with, none of that, because Satan will, you're giving Satan an open door to your feelings and emotions, saying, Satan, here I am, come attack me, and Satan's going to say, thank you very much, and he'll do it, and he'll take full advantage of that, so don't do that. Stay away from that. God will try to preserve you, your feelings and emotions, by keeping that away from you. But if you pursue it, you will find it, and then you're going to regret it. So the other things that Satan's going to try to use against you also is the fact that a remarriage, Satan will try to use that. Let me be very as blunt as I can. A remarriage means nothing to God. It means a lot to us because we're human, and we in our fallen state don't. There's a lot of stuff we don't know, and we don't get. We're still learning. But to God, it's like God laughs at that. Like, is anything? What did God say? Is anything too hard for me? Are all things possible through Christ? Is anything impossible for God? I'm quoting scripture here, guys. Is anything impossible for God? So let me be really bold and very clear. If your spouse has divorced you and you have that piece of paper, it's a piece of paper and it means nothing to God. If God's told you to stand, you stand. By the way, God's told all of us to stand because he said to all of us he hates divorce. And he's told all of us he's joined us together as husband and wife in a marriage, and he's made us one flesh. So you know what? Whether you have a rhema word or not, it doesn't matter. I have seen way too many testimonials of people not having husbands or wives standing for their marriages and only having one little scripture that they stood on. And from that one little scripture, they've stood 2 years, 3 years, 6 years, and their spouses came back home. One little verse, that's it. They didn't have prayer walls. They didn't have conference calls. Everyone around them was against them. But they had that one little scripture, and they said, I don't care. God says this in the Bible. I'm standing on this one little scripture, and that's it. And based on that little scripture, God brought their spouses back, whether it was a child born with the other person, whether it was a remarriage, God annulled that other marriage and brought the spouse back home. There is nothing you can throw at God. You cannot take any situation and throw it at God and say, you can't do this. God's going to say, ha, watch me. Snap his fingers and it's done.
Amen.
So do not get distracted. Like what Lisa said, do not get distracted by what they say, what they do, or what you happen to see them doing with the other person, whether it's a remarriage is a line of fiction from hell. The child born, if there's another child with that other relationship, God bless you. You know what? That's a child born into the world, and God will deal with that too. God will give you the grace. You and your spouse will give you the grace to be able to manage that. I've seen testimonials on that too. Don't worry about that.
Amen. Well, what's she talking about?
Okay, so we have someone that's not on mute.
Yep.
Okay. So, Chris, because we're at the top of the hour and we want to be respectful of other people's time, we're going to pick this up again next week. Hopefully we'll continue talking about spiritual warfare. And I believe we have a very anointed woman of God on the line tonight. Are you still there, Prophetess Tritt?
Praise the Lord. Yes, I am. Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank God. So I had asked, she's such an anointed woman of God. I had the honor last night of hearing her bring forth a word. She has a prayer call on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Friday is our Friday flow call. We always come on and get just a powerful word. And I'm going to post the prayer call information on RMM. But I asked her tonight, and it's been on my heart for some time now, if she would be able to come on and basically just seal all that we've heard tonight and to just pray over the standers on the call. And I asked Chris if he could turn off the recording to give those an opportunity. If you want to just call out your name, this is one exception where if you want to even call out your spouse's name, you're more than welcome.